Hello, everybody. This is Dr. Bob Hoffman from the Master Circle Global, and we have another shocking, amazing, life-fulfilling interview on this Practice Upgrade Summit. Today, I get to speak to a dear friend, a mentor, a hero of mine, someone who put me on the right path, clued me in, will tell you some of that story in a few moments, and just changed the trajectory of my understanding, my teaching, my coaching for the last decade. And that's my dear, dear friend, Dr. Richard Barwell. Richard, welcome onto today's call.
I've been looking forward to this. I miss being with you guys. So we've traveled a lot together and presented. I really do miss that.
Thank you. I missed it too. So for those of you who might not know who Dr. Barwell is, and I can't even understand that possibility, let me just give you a little bit of his credentials. Richard enjoyed over 30 years in clinical practice in Canada and Australia. In 1995, he left a high-volume chiropractic practice that was ultra-successful, had three associates, and get this, I hope you're sitting, a PVA of 180. To join Dr. Guy Reichman's Quest International as its executive director. He continued this work as the executive director of the Chiropractic Leadership Alliance, 97 to 99. And during this time, Richard was involved in research with psychologists regarding the effects of chiropractic adjustment on brain function, specifically cortical brain function. And we're going to address that in a moment. And you do not want to miss that because it's going to open up an entire new way of looking at chiropractic. And I believe a much better way that's going to just knock your socks off. In 1999, Dr. Barwell founded the Chiropractic Equity Offices, CEO, a chiropractic practice coaching company, and coached a new form of practice concepts for 10 years. And it's during that time that he founded the neurologically based chiropractic movement, of which Richard is the father of. He is the father of NBC, neurologically based chiropractic. And Richard, again, we can go on and eat up this entire interview with your credentials, your awards, your research, and how that changed everything. We could talk about, about the NeuroInfinity, an amazing diagnostic tool that actually measures brain function before and after chiropractic care. Nothing like that ever existed in our profession before Richard's creation of the NeuroInfinity, a tool that every chiropractor should be required to have in practice. It would give you so much more joy and fulfillment, be so much more specific and detailed in getting the best, fastest corrections ever, and not just correction of pain, correction of functionality, brain function. But I don't want to eat up your entire interview by just talking about these things. So I've lost track, Richard, but it's probably over 10 years ago that we were both asked to be guest speakers at a chiropractic seminar in England, but neither one of us knew the other one was on the program. And it was the day before, and because both of us are like to plan ahead and be prepared and be professional, I was checking out the room that I was going to speak in, and I walked outside and I glanced over and I saw you sitting there and working on something, and I went, Richard? And you turned to me and went, Bob, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? And then you showed me something, and I'd like you to start from that magical moment.
It was it'd been something we'd been working on and developed, and we were sort of operating in the dark because nobody was working along those concepts about chiropractic. We were still working on, you know, chiropractic and its ability to relieve back pain and neck pain and straighten curvatures, and it's just a whole different world. Once I opened that Pandora's box of looking at chiropractic from a brain function level, it wasn't an easy transition. It was a transition of a huge aha moment in my life. And so we went ahead and developed the instrument. And when we were talking, I called you over there, and I recall it very clearly. And you stood and you just listened. And I told you what I was doing, and I could see the wheels were spinning in there. And you didn't put up a wall. That was, to me, the most amazing thing that happened, because almost everybody else I've talked to about this and showed them the difference in this, the wall went up immediately because I was destroying chiropractic. You didn't do that. And I'm sure you didn't sleep much that night because you were probably going like, what the heck is all this about? How am I going to explain this? And so we got together, and you invited me to come and and speak at the Master's Circle, which was, to me, a great honor. I thought, this is finally, I've got to somebody who's listening. As we know, there was an issue that developed with me speaking at the Master's Circle, because in the interview I had the evening before with Dennis, Dennis realized what I was saying was really a whole different direction than the Master Circle had gone in the past, including Dennis. And so he was really worried and concerned about my presentation. I did my presentation on neurologically based chiropractic, which the whole intent was at that moment was to shift us away from the structural model of bone on nerve that was always a theory, an unproven theory. And we based our power of that theory on results. But it didn't hold true. We knew we got results. The problem was all these different techniques that were involved out there that weren't about mechanically correcting a vertebral subluxation by an adjustment, all the soft tissue, the other. Well, guess what? Then they didn't fit into chiropractic. And that was a huge dilemma. And so after this, we had several discussions along the way, and then I started presenting. You very nicely invited me to come and present in Master Circles all over the place, in England and throughout the United States. And we started to see the movement happening. We started to see people opening up to a new concept and a bigger concept, where chiropractic played a completely different role that was much, much higher in value than spinal focus.
You know, for me, the reason I didn't put up a wall, and I remember it as if it was a week ago, like you do, is because even though I practiced for over two decades and had a highly successful practice and had miracles taking place in my office on a daily basis, I always was conflicted with the fact that I was speaking out of two sides of my mouth. And what I meant by that is I would tell the patient, it's not about the symptoms. I mean, I didn't ignore their symptoms, but I wanted them to know I wasn't treating their symptoms. It's not about symptoms. But as soon as their symptoms went away, we celebrated a miracle. You can't have it both ways. And what I recognized, Richard, is that very few of us had an ability to not measure how patients feel, but to measure how patients function or dysfunction. And what you showed me, which was the Neuro Infinity, that you hadn't even launched to the profession yet, you were showing it to me, giving me a behind-the-scenes look at it. The reason I stood there and my jaw dropped was because I remember vividly in my own head, the words weren't coming out of my mouth, I was trying to be respectful of you. In my own head, I'm saying to myself, this is how we can measure function or dysfunction. This is how we could prove the efficiency of what we do. This is how we can educate people. This is how we can get more and more millions of people under care. This is how we could generate referrals. My mind just kept going with all of that as the possibilities. And I just think that this is critical, because one of the most important things I discovered in practice, and one of the most important things I discovered in coaching chiropractors about their practice, is if the doctor doesn't monitor and manage the patient based on their function or dysfunction, the patient will always monitor and manage their schedule of care based on how they feel. And this is the cause of burnout. This is why chiropractors get so frustrated and so disenchanted, because patients just drop out of care. And some of them drop out feeling better, but they're still not healthy. And some of them drop out because they're not feeling better yet, and they're certainly still not healthy. And we've scratched the surface of what's possible. And your NeuroInfinity to me was a transformative way to get to that next level and prevent all of those problems.
You know, the crazy thing about this is the craziest thing about chiropractors. Here's this instrument that can demonstrate that we absolutely, totally improved central nervous system function at the highest level. Beyond question, we can show it. Lifetime, we can show it. You know what the chiropractors are doing about this? They're saying, well, I don't know if my care really does that. And I'm going like, good grief. You're in practice for how many years? You're seeing people taking care of them. Their symptoms are disappearing. And the only reason their symptoms disappear is because you change brain function. And yet they still don't have the confidence in who they are and what they're doing with chiropractic, because they've never, ever considered the fact that chiropractic works at a higher level than they ever thought. One of the things that I just wanted to touch on was this 180 PVA. You know, the way that I got to 180 PVA wasn't to book a new patient 180 times at one go. That's not the way it worked. The way it worked was the very first contact. It started with that. We started with changing the intent of the care. Within not my mind, I might already change my intent, but within the intent of the patient, for the patient to understand that we were working on something bigger than just their back pain, and getting them to understand that the reason that they had signs and symptoms was because their nervous system was not functioning correctly. And the only way that the body could tell them consciously that they were in trouble was to create a sign or a symptom. And once we asked them, and we would ask them this straightforward question, and I love this, you know, do you want care that just gets rid of your sign or your symptom or your pain and leaves the cause? Or do you want care that addresses the cause of this? It's a duh question. You know, I got attacked by one person saying, that's a leading question. I said, I can't help it. I'm a leader. You know? And so the patient would say, well, I want care that deals with the cause. The minute that they said that, and they had to say it, the minute that they said that, the intent of care in their mind had changed. So therefore, we're going to measure the outcome differently. Now we're going to have to measure. And when I, at the point where I was going like, oh, crap, if I don't have an instrument to be able to show this, I'm just another medicine salesman. You know, I've got the wagon, I'm rolling. I have nothing to prove it. Now I got to move to the next town when they find out that I haven't got anything to prove it. So that's where we developed the NeuroInfinity. And we went to the best company we could possibly find, and we spent years, and I don't want to tell you how many thousands of dollars, trying to get this thing to develop, and we got it. And we've gone through now, I think we're in our fourth or fifth generation of it. And it's been just absolutely amazing to be able to offer that to the profession, to say, here's the future. This is where we can go. And boy, where can we take this chiropractic profession? I got to tell you, you're this master circle. This is 20 years down the road. 20 years. The Master Circle is the only coaching group that I have run across that teaches neurologically based chiropractic as a platform.
Thank you for that. But you don't have to thank me for that, because I believe it with my heart and soul. And I think it's critical. And I think it's the next evolutionary step in our profession, and will soon become the new gold standard in our profession. You know, Richard, I know how frustrated you are, as I am, that chiropractors need a better way to document. You've offered that to them, and still they're hesitant or resistive. And it's because of the silent dread. You know, no one ever tested the validity of care before. They're doing okay. They're afraid of being found out or exposed. Well, for those of you who are watching and listening to this, I'm begging you to trust yourself and trust 125 years of growth and progress and time-tested procedures, that what we do improves brain function. The chiropractic adjustment normalizes and maximizes brain function. Yep. And what I'd like you to talk about a little bit more, Richard, right now, is the transition for the doc watching this from pain to brain. Could you elaborate on that?
Yeah, the first thing is you have to start letting go. And you're going to have to change your dialogue, not much. all you're doing is moving from the nerve interference at the spinal level to the nerve interference at the brain level. And it's just the research that's come out from, especially from Heidi Havoc, you know, you've had her at, I mean, it continues to back up exactly what I've been saying for the last 20 years. She is amazing. So the doctor just needs to sort of catch up a little bit and let go of some concepts. And like, you have to ask yourself, how can I improve my practice? Where's my biggest challenge that I have in my practice? And to me, it was that concept of shifting people away from their background of disease and illness as being something that medicine teaches that it lands on you and, you know, they've got to get rid of it for you, to all of a sudden saying, you know what, current research shows us, and this is the key, current research shows us that stress is the cause of 95% of all illness and disease, between 95 and 97%. That's the medical research. That's not coming from us. That's coming from them. So wait a minute. If stress is the cause of the problem, it takes me to that next level, going back into my philosophy. And my philosophy taught me that the three T's were the foundation for vertebral subluxation. But we skipped over them and went directly to this vertebral subluxation, never bothering to try to figure out how that was related. Do you get it in your mind that it's stress that's creating the problem? I can even demonstrate to you, I can show you how those stressors create the vertebral subluxation. It's a simple neurological fact. The stress affects how the brain functions. It affects how the prefrontal cortex of the brain functions, and that's the conductor of the brain that sets up the tempo throughout the brain. It's the primary area that makes us, especially humans, humans. And so that is directly connected to the cerebellum. The cerebellum is responsible for locating us in time and space. So here we are in space with kids that are learning how to walk. That's your cerebellum going like, oh my gosh, I got new parameters to work with. So what happens is if stress affects this part, which affects our balance and our location in space, guess what happens has to compensate for that? The spine, because the cerebellum controls the fine paraspinal muscles to keep us upright and moving freely. And what happens is when that's not getting clear message, it starts to distort our position in space, and we end up with, guess what? The vertebral subluxation. Now we have limited motion. That's going to feed back into the system and make it even worse. And it's that simple. And so they just have to get through their head that all we've done is move their concept of how this all happens up here rather than making it structural. I would rather be a neurologically based doctor because that's the highest level that we can function at than a spinal correction doctor. Not saying that that doesn't do, they don't do good work, but the only reason they do good work is because they change the nervous system that changes the structure.
And I think if you were to ask 100 laymen, what do you think is worse, a back problem or a brain problem? I'm pretty certain that well over 90% would say a brain problem. Absolutely. And this is how we make chiropractic care honestly, ethically, research-based. It's how we make chiropractic care a necessity and not a luxury for people.
Yep. When does stress end?
Say it again?
When does stress end?
Never, never. So it gives us a reason for lifetime care. Ongoing stress requires ongoing care to neutralize that stress, because that's a piece that we have to add to this conversation, that the adjustment neutralizes the stress response. Look, we can't even get rid of our own stress. We certainly can't get rid of patient stress, but we know that stress left to accumulate causes damage, degeneration, and then disease. But we also know that the adjustment neutralizes the stress response and stops the process of damage, degeneration, and disease. And if chiropractors would just learn to change the conversation, you talked about changing it from the spinal level to the brain level. I prefer to think of it as elevating your conversation from the spine level to the brain level. It changes the entire concept. I know, Richard, when we started teaching our clients about this conversation, and all we asked them to do, we didn't know where we were going. All we ask them to do is start to change the conversation, start to educate their patients differently, talk differently. When you do an assessment, connect the assessment to the brain instead of to the pain. When we started to make those changes, their practices started to explode, and they came back to Dennis and I, and they needed new information. So over a span of 2 or 3 years, we basically reinvented the chiropractic model, because we had to create new case history questions, new exam procedures, new report of findings, new financial plans, new communication strategies. We had to reinvent practice. But in the process of doing that, our clients that were already doing extraordinarily well did significantly better, not little, significantly better. And we realized, that's when we really realized that this didn't just resonate with us. It didn't just feel right. It didn't just make sense. This was it. This was that missing piece of the puzzle.
You know, it's amazing to listen to the people that are doing the chiropractors that go out and make that change. I don't know how many of them, I can't tell you the percentage of this, have come, phoned us back and said, I am enjoying practice like I have never enjoyed it before. This is what I thought it was supposed to be like. You know, and we all fell in love with chiropractic at chiropractic college, and we were all into the philosophy and doing the great. Then we got out of the practice, and we got so sick and tired of being pain. Oh, my God, I didn't want to hear another patient come in. It hurts right here, doc. Well, it's going to hurt right there after I hit you, because you're not going to have two spots, because I don't want to hear it anymore. And all of a sudden, the pain discussion has gone, and people are now coming in, and I love this, and getting referred into our clients because they want to get their nervous system checked. Not because they got back pain, but I heard my friend told me that she came in here she's got her brain and her nervous system working better. I want to find out what that's all about. Holy smokes, that's what we were supposed to be doing a long, long time ago. We just lost track.
Yep. And clearly, if anyone listening and watching this is paying attention, we're in the early stages of the worst epidemic in human history, the neurological epidemic. You know, there are so many people that have neurological diseases. Those numbers are exploding. But even just on a symptomatic level, people aren't sleeping very well. People are chronically fatigued. They have significant digestive issues, bowel issues, memory fog, skin conditions. They have emotional eating, mood swings, anxiety. These are all early signs of damage showing up in the body as a result of brain dysfunction. And left uncorrected, it's going to, again, further progress to disease, because neurological problems left uncorrected become neurological diseases. And we don't want that for patients, and patients don't want that either. So let's get back to one of the comments you spoke about a few moments ago that I'd love you to elaborate on. The three causes, what Dee Dee talked about is the three T's, traumas, toxins, and thoughts. Today, we prefer to call that physical, chemical, and emotional stress. I think every healer knows very much about physical problems. And I think over the last 30 or 40 years, far, far more of our colleagues are keyed into the chemical problems. But I know you believe this, and I certainly believe this, Richard, that the most severe stress, the most common stress, the most damaging stress is emotional. And yet, as a profession, we basically ignore that because we don't know that we have a solution for it. We feel handicapped in that arena. You know, the physical stress, we can adjust people. We can give them orthotics or a sacral belt or a cervical pillow as examples. The chemical stress, we can put them on a detox, give them supplements. But 95% of chiropractors don't have any clue what to do for emotional issues. Now, I'm bringing this up because I'd love you to talk about it. But I want to make one more comment before you address it. You commented how kind I was to invite you to speak at Master Circle, but you were equally kind to invite me to speak at Neuro Infinity Trainings. And I had no idea what was going to be taught, and I had no idea how they went. And I remember vividly the very first time I was there, I sat in the back, and you were teaching up front, and you You were going through a lot of great information. I was taking copious notes. And you asked for a volunteer in the audience, and a doc who I didn't know volunteered, and you hooked him up, and it was up on a big screen. We were watching his brain function on a screen, and you were explaining what we were looking at. And in about 4 or 5 minutes, you went over to that doctor in front of the whole room and said, "Did you ever serve in the military?" And I remember vividly thinking, like, where on earth is he going with this? And the doc said, "Yeah, why?" He goes, "Because you're showing all the symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder." And in that moment, my jaw bounced off the desk. Because in all my years in chiropractic and all my years of teaching and coaching and researching, I had no idea that you could do that. And you did it like that. And that's another example of the emotional stress and how it damages the brain and the nervous system. Could you talk more about that?
Yeah, this is an area that quite often gets left out, and it's so important. What we know is this: we know that our conscious mind, the one that we think is us under control, I'm here, I'm aware, I can control what's going on. That represents 5% of your brain function. In other words, 95% of your brain function is subconscious. It's the controller. And I have a basic rule of thumb. You can never fool the subconscious. That's number one rule. You can't fool the subconscious. It's aware of everything that's going on all the time. It knows how all those systems are working and whether they're in balance or out of balance. It's the controller. And so there's... The other thing that we need to consider with those stressors is electromagnetic stress.
100%.
And that's something that's come into our time. And let me take a sidebar, if I may. The mean frequency of the Earth used to be 7.8 hertz. That was the average frequency generated by the Earth. If you meditated and you ever were able to get your mind down to that bottom end of alpha of 7.8, alpha is conscious relaxation. And if you were truly in that level, there was a sensation of oneness connected with everything. The reason was you were connected at 7.8 hertz with the frequency of the Earth. And people always talked about that, about being one. Well, today, the mean frequency of the Earth is over 10 hertz. It's moved way up. They're talking about it now into 12. That's because of all the electromagnetic stuff that's going on. All those satellites up there, they're beaming stuff down. Well, when you take 12 hertz, that puts you in beta and defense. And if you'll take a look for just a moment and consider what's going on in this world today, there is so much unrest everywhere. No one is happy. Everybody's in defense. And it's a real challenge. So we need to get this thing settled back down. We need to learn how to control us and bring us back down. So now bringing back to that emotional level. The thing that was so incredible about this is we used the psychologist method of doing emotional testing, sounds. And there are specific sounds. And so we can see how people react to those specific sounds. And where they're reacting is in the emotional levels of the brain, which is in the subconscious. And we can see that. Now, for the first time ever as chiropractors, we can take a look at our patients, not from just a conscious point of view about how they're feeling and what's going on with them, but we can take a look at it subconsciously. And when we see something like a wild, crazy response to an emotional challenge that's in the system and the stress response evaluation, and we see it attacking not only EEG, we see abnormal EEGs of it, but also the limbic system responses are crazy. As a chiropractor, you really need to have a psychologist working with you, because you don't want to then spend the next hour talking to this person. You're not qualified. We don't have enough to deal with that. And when I was working in practice and working with a psychologist, it was a great experiment. I ended up taking psychology courses at the University of Victoria in British Columbia with her. She dragged me over there. We were seeing incredible things going on because she was able to deal with it, knowing what was going on. We could measure and show stuff, and I was dealing with it from a chiropractic standpoint. So it just, the first time ever, we can really see what's going on with it. Remember those patients you would adjust, and all of a sudden they'd start crying?
Yep.
It wasn't because you hurt them. It's because you had an emotional release. The best technique is out there forever doing incredible work dealing with this. And the people that are in the program that are using the NeuroInfinity with the best work are in love with it.
Beautiful. Beautiful. So with the NeuroInfinity, the most important test that you run is the SRE, which is the stress response evaluation. And this is critical because this shows how the brain is managing or failing to manage the stress that it's being insulted with, that you do through sounds, different, a variety of different sounds. And seeing how somebody responds, because everything is about the response. Again, we all have stress in our lives. The only place that we're not even sure of this, but the only place that there's no stress is a cemetery. So we're always going to have stress. The key is, how do we respond? Do we get stronger from it or get weaker from it? Do we get healthier from it or get sicker from it? So knowing that response possibility clues us in to why are they sick, where are they sick, what's causing their sickness, and how to fix it. And related to this, Richard, and again, I'd just like you to comment briefly on this, is one of the many things you taught me is that the brain basically has four levels of dysfunction. And once we know if it's under-aroused, over-aroused, unstable, or I'm blanking out on the other one.
Exhausted.
Exhausted. I just blanked out. Thank you.
Exhausted.
Or exhausted. Has different symptoms and different diseases related to it, and even more important, should be dictating to us the frequency of care and either how gentle or forceful the care should be. Could you talk about that just briefly?
Yeah, all sorts of things opened up. Once we started looking at this from a neurological foundation, we never considered one part about chiropractic care. We considered duration and long, two times a week for 4 weeks. So frequency and duration. Yes. And what we never considered was the intensity of the care. Did the intensity of the care match the neurological needs of the patient? So if a patient is in an exhausted state where their system is completely failing, that's autoimmune system disorder. That every cancer is an autoimmune system disorder. That's the system failing at a high level. So if you go in there and you do so much stuff in there to stimulate a system that's already in breakdown, it's too much and it can't handle it. So what we were able to start looking at and saying, you know what, this particular nervous system should have once a week visit, but for book for 6 months. And when I would say things like that, number one, I had the group of them saying, no, you got to see people, you know, five times a day, and you got to do it for 2 weeks like that. Versus the other people would say, if you book more than five visits, you're over adjusting people. Because based on what? Based on some assumption that they had from somebody that said something. I'm talking about neurological needs of that particular patient and using that as my guideline. So we were able to take a look and say, an over-aroused system, you need to be going slowly. An under-aroused, you need to be going a little quicker with more dynamics involved. But you need to be measuring the changes, because once it changes, once you get the attention of that system, we have the law of hormesis coming into play. And the law of hormesis is a biological law before chiropractic. And it says a strong stimulation stops a physiological response, a moderate stimulation inhibits, and a light stimulation encourages. So once you've broken the pattern with a strong stimulation, that whatever that means to that patient, once you've broken that pattern, you need to change how you're adjusting that patient. You may need a different technique or a different frequency or a different intensity, and this started to make it fun. I mean, it was like, this is practice. This is a game. I got to try to outsmart this system.
Very much so. And the way I like to language the law of hormesis when I'm coaching my clients or working with patients is this: doing less more often always produces better results than doing more less often. And a perfect analogy of that is, what would be better, going to the gym for 2 hours once a month, or going to the gym for 20 minutes four times a week? doing less more often produces better results than doing more less often. And doctors get that. As soon as you explain it, it's completely a different paradigm for them, but they get it. And if they're just willing to trust and try it, immediately patients get better, faster response. And if you have a tool to measure it, like the NeuroInfinity, you can actually document that, which is a beautiful, beautiful thing.
When I was in practice, one of the things, when I started, before I had the instrument or anything, I was already starting to think in these kind of directions. But one of the things that hit me, you know, the term less and lighter is better has been around the profession forever and a day, forever and a day. But we never really understood why. And so, I thought, you know what? If I go to a dentist and the dentist does the same thing to me every time I go in there, I'm going to get really annoyed because, you know, why didn't you do it right the first time? So the best news that I can get from a dentist is to go in, get checked, and saying everything's great, you know, that's it. And I would walk out of there feeling rewarded and be happy to pay him to say thank you. And then I thought about what I was doing in my practice. And I thought, well, I'm going to start doing that. And here's where this weakness comes in. And it's me too. I'm going like, but if I do less, these people are going to feel like they're paying for something that they're not getting it. And they're going to start saying, oh, I need more than that. It's not what I got. When I finally got the confidence just to follow through with this, and as they started to improve, I started doing less and less each time. I got, gee, doc, I must be getting better. You didn't have to do as much. You know, I had a room in the back where I'd go and bang my head against the wall when I did something stupid. Well, I had to put a pillow up there.
Very good. Richard, before our time runs out, and this has just been beyond delightful, I'm not sure if I remember, but you graduated from Canadian Memorial Chiropractic College around 1960, 61, 62, somewhere around there?
64.
So you've been an outstanding, iconic, groundbreaking chiropractor for 56 years. God bless you. God bless you. You've been a chiropractic warrior for all that time. And you keep going forward, you keep becoming thought-provoking and changing some of our beliefs and cleaning up some of the myths that were really just myths that we accepted as dogma. And I don't know if I could name two or three or four chiropractors alive today that quite frankly have contributed as much as you have, even though I know you don't feel that every day, because new ideas are always resisted and people call you names no matter what you do, and they're jealous and they're afraid of thinking or acting outside of the box. But I just want to let you know that you are an historic, important figure in the 125-year history of our profession. You've been a chiropractor for almost half the time chiropractic's been around. And you've been such a mentor and a role model for me, not just in how you think, not just from a neurological perspective, but as a professional, a class act, a kind soul, a hard worker, someone who's willing to speak their truth no matter what anybody else thinks. I have so much admiration for you. It's just physically impossible for me to put it all together in a minute or two. And one of the most important things I got from you, and I'm going to use some of my languaging, is for those chiropractors who are watching this, chiropractic is about one thing. It really has one purpose and one mission, one goal, one objective. It's not about the adjustment. It's not about the subluxation. It's not about the interference. It's not about the spine. It's about one. And one to me is an acronym that stands for optimal neurological expression. Our goal, the reason we were chosen to be doctors of chiropractic and healers, is to help as many people as possible have optimal neurological expression. And I got that from you because before, you know, we had known each other for years before the England meeting, but you weren't on this path, and I certainly wasn't on this path. And I always you cut me open, I bleed chiropractic. But I was a traditionalist. You know, it's about the subluxation. I was subluxation based. And, you know, I fancied myself for being a super specific upper cervical chiropractor. But I never really got optimal neurological expression. And that was the end game. You know, to paraphrase Stephen Covey, if we begin with the end in mind is optimal neurological expression. And for that alone, I owe you a debt of gratitude that I can never repay you for. So I just want to publicly thank you for all of that.
I am above being honored, and I hold my Eagle Award with great respect. You know, there are two words that sum up this whole thing. Survival value.
Survival value. By the way, you mentioned the Eagle Award. Nobody would know what that is, but about every 5 years, the Master Circle Global gives an award to somebody in the profession that has gone above and beyond, who's created great change, great healing. And the last Eagle Award was presented to you, Dr. Barwell, and for exactly the reasons that I shared a few moments ago.
Well, thank you.
Any parting comments before we go?
I just wish you well in health and happiness and chiropractic. I look at this as a debt on my part to give back. I'm always operated that way. I had a great life from chiropractic. I have a responsibility to give back. That's my motivation.
Well, it shows. And thank you so much. And I wish you and Susan all the best. And I love our friendship and our relationship and our admiration and respect for each other, because we're just two warriors. There are many, many others just trying to lift this profession up by raising its standards and its consciousness and its understanding of what it really is all about. So thank you so much for this interview, Dr. Barwell. I love and appreciate you.
Thank you.